5, 4,
space.
3,
it used to be the playground of governments, but now rockets and satellites are becoming so small, so cheap, that even a podcast can do it.
We have ignition.
I'm Robert Smith, and starting November 29th, the Planet Money team launches their very own satellite into the cosmos. Listen on NPR One or that app you're using right now.
Copy that, Ops One.
From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras.
What color is the sky? Ay, mi amor, ay, mi amor. You tell me that it's red. Ay, mi amor, ay, mi amor.
We're starting with music, more specifically a soundtrack from the new animated film Coco. It's a rare occurrence in the entertainment industry, a Latino-themed film made by a major Hollywood studio. And this week, we're going to take a deeper dive into the film with some folks who were involved in making the film. And I also invited NPR's Mandalit Del Barco to drop by. She recently reported on the making of the film. Mandalit, welcome to Alt Latino.
Thanks, Felix.
Okay, so let's hear the rest of this song, and then we're going to hear your report. This is the song Un Poco Loco.
The loco that you make me, it is just un poco crazy. The sense that you're not making.
The liberties you're taking leaves my cabeza shaking. You are just un poco loco.
And now, Mandalit's report that ran on NPR's Morning Edition.
Pixar's newest animated movie, Coco, is meant to be a love letter to Mexico. It is filled with Mexican music, images, and folklore, including some of the traditions of the Day of the Dead holiday. The movie premiered in Mexico, where it's gone on to become the number one film of all time. Now audiences in the U.S. can see it in theaters this week, just in time for another holiday, Thanksgiving. NPR's Mandalit Del Barco tells us more.
Coco celebrates Mexico, música y familia, Mexico, music and family. The story follows 12-year-old Miguel Rivera, who yearns to be a great musician. But he has to hide his ambition and his guitar from his family of shoemakers who don't approve.
I know I'm not supposed to love music.
No music! No music!
His abuelita even raises her chancla, her sandal, when he dares to dream.
But my great-grandma Coco's father was the greatest musician of all time.
Papa!
The fictional Ernesto de la Cruz, voiced by Benjamin Bratt, was a famous singer and actor from Mexico's golden age of cinema.
Remember me. Though I have to say goodbye, remember me. Don't let it make you cry.
This catchy anthem was written by Robert and Kristen Anderson Lopez, the duo that penned Oscar-winning songs from the movie Frozen. Remembering family is a recurring theme of Coco. Miguel begins his big adventure on Día de los Muertos, Day of the Dead. At the town cemetery, he visits the La Cruz's altar and soon finds himself in the colorful afterlife.
Welcome to the land of your ancestors.
Miguel?
We're your family.
You're skeletons.
Miguel teams up with one mischievous skeleton named Hector. In both the English and Spanish versions, he's voiced by Gael García Bernal. Hector breaks down the most important rule of the land of the dead.
When there's no one left in the living world who remembers you, you disappear from this world.
So Miguel races to get back to his family's altar. This is not the first animated musical Day of the Dead movie. Jorge Gutierrez's The Book of Life came out in 2014. As in that film, Coco is filled with Mexican cultural references and folklore, from its opening titles crafted as papel picado to cartoon caricatures of artist Frida Kahlo and Mexican wrestler Santo. A bridge of marigold petals connects to the land of the dead, a floating metropolis layered atop ancient Mesoamerican pyramids. Flying all around are colorful alebrijes, mythical spirit creatures.
And we hope that our audience in those communities feel like we got it right.
Co-director Lee Unkrich says the filmmakers went to great lengths to make sure the depictions were culturally authentic and respectful. He and his Pixar crew of artists spent 6 years traveling to Mexico for inspiration, going into people's homes, visiting plazas and mercados, attending Day of the Dead festivities. But as they were kicking around ideas for a title, parent company Disney got in a lot of heat for filing to trademark Día de los Muertos.
There was a mistake in kind of registering that title. It was something that happened that we regret deeply because it was completely antithetical to what we were trying to do. We were trying to do everything right and reach out to the community. But it also ended up being a bit of a wake-up call for us to like step up our efforts even more.
They ended up hiring a small group of cultural consultants, including Lalo Alcaraz. The well-known Chicano cartoonist publicly poked fun at Disney's misstep. He even led a small online protest. Alcaraz thinks he and the other consultants accomplished their mission to keep Coco from being whitewashed.
We'd go to screenings, we'd talk about the dialogue, you know, give suggestions. Pixar was already bending over backwards to make sure it was culturally true, and they did a good job. And they were smart to listen to the screaming cholo.
Coco has a Latino cast of voices, including actress Ana Ofelia Murguia, comedian Herbert Siguenza, director Luis Valdez, and 12-year-old Anthony Gonzalez, who plays Miguel.
You make me un poco loco, un poquitito loco. The way you keep me guessing, I'm nodding and I'm guessing. I'll count it as a blessing that I'm only un poco loco.
The soundtrack includes many genres, son jarocho, banda, mariachi, huapango, and modern Mexican electronic music. DJ and producer Camilo Lara from the group Mexican Institute of Sound was Coco's music consultant. He helped gather musicians for scoring sessions in Mexico City.
They are like la creme de la creme from Mexico.
Lara worked with composer Germain Franco to create a sonic soundscape.
Taking the care to animate all the musicians' every movement is pretty exquisite, the animation.
Franco wrote some of the lyrics, along with Coco's co-director, Adrian Molina, a Mexican-American artist who also helped write the movie. Molina says he hopes the story inspires audiences to look up their own family lore.
To call up the oldest person in their family and have them tell stories of the oldest person they remember from their family.
Coco had a splashy opening in Mexico City's historic Palacio de Bellas Artes last month, complete with the National Symphony Orchestra and singer Carlos Rivera. Mexican audiences have been enthusiastic. The movie's been number one at the box office.
Traigan un pañuelo porque llora uno.
Bring a handkerchief because you will cry, advises moviegoer Rosalia Architrave after watching Coco at a theater in Mexico City. She says the film made her proud of being Mexican.
Sí, crean en nuestras raíces.
She thanks the filmmakers for believing in her heritage. In that sense, some reviewers have called Coco rebellious, even subversive, for celebrating Mexican culture in the current political climate. At a time when President Trump is trying to build his wall between the countries, musician Camilo Lara says the movie sends an alternative vision.
This is showing the Mexico I like, the Mexico that is creative and fun and exciting and full of culture and color, and not the Mexico full of violence and the narco Mexico.
At the Hollywood premiere, Gael Garcia Bernal said he dedicated Coco to Latino children enduring the false narrative that their families are rapists, murderers, or drug traffickers.
A four-year-old kid, five-year-old kid that is growing right now in the United States is growing up in a state of fear. You know, and this film will help for this kid to feel, you know, empower them and to make them feel that they have a much more complex culture.
With all of its music and folklore and artwork and the story itself, audiences so far feel Coco respects their families, living and remembered.
Remember.
Mandalit del Barco, NPR News.
Okay, Mandalit, first let's talk about the significance of a major film studio, in this case Pixar, taking on a Latino-themed feature film. Now, that's a pretty big deal, isn't it?
It is, and as you heard in my story, it's a 99.9% Latino cast. There was one guy, Ratzenberg, who's
voiced every Pixar movie ever made. But everybody else was Latino in this, in the English version, also the Spanish version. And, you know, used all the cultural consultants. The co-director and writer was Latino. The music consultants were Latino. Musicians were Latino. So it's a major Latino production from start to finish. So I think it is a pretty major Latino film.
You know, obviously the work on this film started years ago, but it really dovetails nicely with the phenomena Despacito and the blockbuster success it had, which I think showed that non-Latino audiences are not afraid of Latino culture.
Yeah, I think that not just Despacito, but a lot of things have shown us that everybody likes to, you know, watch or listen to Latino-themed cultural references. If you look at the statistics of who goes to see the movies, a lot of us Latinos are going to the movies, so it's a no-brainer if you ask me.
And we are asking you. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the backlash you mentioned in the piece. And I remember that trademark issue when they tried to trademark Dia de los Muertos. And I remember immediately thinking, what is that all about? I mean, can you give us a little bit more detail on what Pixar tried to do and how they remedied it? And from what I've read, it looks like the Pixar folks seem to be sincere about that misstep.
Well, yeah, in I think it was in 2013, maybe even before that, Walt Disney Company had filed 10 applications with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office for Dia de los Muertos. And that was to trademark and to merchandise, really, toys and cereal and jewelry and anything related that they could sell to do with this movie. Those applications were withdrawn. They were just thinking of ideas, possibly Dia de los Muertos or Day of the Dead. And so I guess the merchandising folks at Disney kind of jumped the gun there, because obviously that was not the title of the film in the end. And I think they heard enough from enough people saying, like, whoa, that's like trying to trademark Christmas or Thanksgiving or, right. You know, right. That was a little bit much. So people really did respond and say that was not cool.
So what's your feeling? What's your gut feeling? And what are you hearing? Because you've been in Los Angeles for NPR for a long time, and you've been reporting a lot on the entertainment industry. You cover the Oscars. You do a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. What's your feeling? What's your gut feeling? How is the Latino part of Hollywood reacting to this effort, to the film, to the idea that a studio like Pixar is getting behind this?
Well, everybody I've talked to has been very enthusiastic. I have to say, when I first heard about this film, it reminded me of another film that I reported about a few years ago, The Book of Life, mm-hmm. Jorge Gutierrez. And Guillermo del Toro was the producer of that. And even the elements of this movie, a little boy with a guitar goes to the afterlife on Day of the Dead. It was a very similar thing. But as I was talking to people, everybody said, well, you know, there's more than one Christmas movie. There's more than one other kinds of movies. Why not? Why not have this? And everybody seems to embrace this film. So far, people that I've talked to, even those who were skeptical at first. So the response in Mexico, I have to say, has been enormous. It's number one film of all time at the box office in Mexico. Wow. And that was even before it opened, you know, in the U.S. and it's going on to China and Russia and around the world. But in Mexico, the audiences have really responded. I think that the audiences in the U.S. are also responding very well to this film. And people are saying, well, you know, finally they get it. Finally, people are respecting our culture, our heritage, and they use so many Latinos in the cast and in the making of this film that you can see Pixar did make a huge effort to reach out and, you know, get some key people. And as you heard at the end of my story, the significance of having a film that celebrates Mexico at this time politically is huge. And I think people are responding to that in a huge way, too. I mean, I've heard some people say that if Coco gets a nomination or an Oscar, this would be a huge response to the Trump administration's treatment of Mexicans. This is what I've heard.
If we were going to change Alt Latino into a politics show, we would dive right into that.
Yeah.
But okay, so now I'm going to put on my been there, done that hat, okay? Do you think that this is a tipping point for Hollywood-based film studios to seriously consider Latino-themed films, or will this be another blip on the radar? Because going back, La Bamba, Luis Valdez's film, was in 1987, then Selena was 1997. So like a pattern of every 10 years, a film like this is released, and in this case, it's almost 20 years now. Am I being too pessimistic that this is just going to be a blip, or do you think that this is like a cultural shift?
Well, I don't know about a tipping point, but in we'll have to see what the final box office numbers are on this film. But as you know, Hollywood responds to the bottom line and maybe the audience numbers. So, I mean, it would be great if there were Latino-themed films every month. I mean, as a demographics change, maybe that's going to influence things. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball, but certainly Coco is having a moment right now in Hollywood.
Mandalit Del Barco from NPR News, thank you so much. And would you come back on the show sometime to talk more about Hollywood and entertainment?
Absolutely. I'd love to anytime.
Okay. Okay, next up, we're going to talk to one of the musicians who worked on the soundtrack, Mexican producer Camilo Lara. This is one of the songs he has in the film under his artistic identity as the Mexican Institute of Sound. This is called Jalale. Camilo Lara joined me from NPR station KPCC in Pasadena, and he talked to me about his role on the soundtrack for the film.
Well, for Coco, I had two songs, one that comes on an album called Soy Sauce, and another one that is was just a crazy idea. But I work a lot on helping navigate the Mexican music. I think those tracks are... fit really good in the movie, and it's great to see it like with this animation.
What was the experience like working with a studio like that and trying to interpret the culture through music?
They take very serious the process of researching, and the whole idea was to have this kind of feeling like to smell like Mexico through music. What can happen on a street like in a town as Santa Cecilia, and what you can hear of all different kind of musics. When you're in Mexico, it's hard to explain, but sometimes you have three or four music, different music sounding at the same time. So we try to capture this kind of a crazy music landscape that goes from traditional music to modern music. And so the whole idea was to make it as real as possible.
Now, when you were called to work on the film, was it something that surprised you at all?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I got really excited. That was approximately 6 years ago. I got a Facebook invitation, so it was fantastic. Lee, the director, listened to my music and he started writing the script. And he invited me to just have a meet and see if we can work together. And after that, I started slowly getting involved into the whole process. And it was fantastic because it was seeing the movie since it was a doodle until it's this fantastic visual masterpiece.
Camilo Lara, thanks a lot, man. You're welcome back anytime, you know that.
Thank you so much, Felix.
And now a featured song from Coco. It's called Proud Corazon, and it's performed by the actor who plays Miguel in the film, newcomer Anthony Gonzalez.
Say that I'm crazy or call me a fool. Last night it seemed that I dreamed about you. When I opened my mouth, what came out was a song, and you knew every word, and we all sang along to a melody played on the strings of our souls, and a rhythm that rattled us down to the bone. Our love for each other will live on forever. In every beat of my proud corazón, our love for each other will live on forever. In every beat of my proud corazón.
Amidst the chaos of the red carpet during the 30th Annual Hispanic Heritage Awards in Washington, D.C. this past September, we caught up with Adrian Molina, who is the co-director and screenwriter of Coco. He talked about how he got involved in the film.
So I've been at Pixar for 11 years, and when I heard that we were going to make this film about Mexican culture, I was like, I need to be on that film. That's such an exciting project. To be able to work with an all-Latino cast, you know, featuring all of the amazing talent that we have in this community, it was just something that I'm very proud of, and we think is going to touch a lot of people when they see it.
Molina also talked about the universal message of the film.
I'd like to think that there's always more you can do and always further you can stretch, but I have to say that this experience has been incredibly, incredibly difficult, but also incredibly rewarding. To be able to tell stories, to be able to connect to an audience halfway across the world and create empathy by putting your own soul on screen. I think there's a real power in what storytelling can do to find empathy across borders.
NPR film critic Bob Mondello did a review of Coco for NPR's All Things Considered, and here's what he had to say.
12-year-old Miguel lives with his shoemaking family in a Mexican village, his days happy except for one thing. His family has been music-free for three generations. His grandmother allows no blowing into soda bottles.
No music.
No listening to passing car radios.
No music.
No singing with strolling players.
I think we're the only family in Mexico who hates music.
Miguel knows why. Years ago, his musical great-great-grandfather grabbed his guitar and left, never to return. On Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, when it said the deceased returned to visit their families, no one so much as mentions great-great-granddad, which means Miguel gets a bit of a shock when he strums a guitar in a cemetery on that day and finds himself and his street puppy transported to the land of the dead.
You gotta stay with me, boy. We don't know.
It's the most eye-popping and lively afterlife you can imagine, with streets paved in fluorescent flower petals and skeletons doing production numbers about dancing papaya seeds. The plot arguably has more complications and psychedelic spirit critters than it really needs, but you can't blame Pixar's animators for splurging on images when the point of everything they do is family.
This isn't a dream, then. You're all really out there.
You thought we weren't?
Well, I don't know. I thought it might have been one of those made-up things that adults tell kids, like vitamins.
Coco, I should mention, is Miguel's great-grandmother, the child of that musical great-great-grandfather who never came back. She anchors the film, as you'd expect a matriarch to do, and she also figures in a moment that will reduce audiences to tears, as surely as did that story in Up about the grumpy old man losing his wife. In both cases, the tears are joyous, about memories that can unite families and even transcend death. Though Coco strikes plenty of comedic kid flick poses, it's no accident that its big song is
"Remember Me."
Also no accident, its plot centers on Mexico's Day of the Dead. The final credits end with a note that Dia de los Muertos is a tradition rooted in the lore of indigenous peoples. To learn more, says a legend on the screen, visit your local library. I bet a lot of folks will, right after they call their grandmothers. I'm Bob Mondello.
Though I have to travel far, remember.
The soundtrack for Coco was released on November 10th, and the film opens on Thanksgiving weekend. We'd love to hear what you think about Coco. Reach out on Facebook and Twitter. And now let's hear the main theme song from the film. It's called Remember Me, and it's composed by Oscar-winning composers Christian Anderson Lopez and Robert Lopez, and is performed here by Natalia Lafourcade and the pop star Miguel. I'm Felix Contreras. This has been Alt Latino. Thanks for listening.
Remember me, though I have to say goodbye. Remember me, don't let it make you cry. For even if I'm far away, I hold you in my heart. I sing a secret song to you each night we are apart. Remember me, though I have to travel far. Remember me. Each time you hear a sad guitar, know that I'm with you the only way that I can be. Until you're in my arms again, remember me. Recuérdame.
Recuérdame, si en tu mente vivo estoy.
Recuérdame,
mis sueños yo te doy. Te llevo en mi corazón y te acompañaré. Unidos en nuestra canción, contigo ahí estaré.
Recuérdame,
si sola crees estar.
Recuérdame.
Cantarte y abrazar, aún en la distancia nunca vayas a olvidar que yo contigo siempre voy. Recuérdame.
If you close your eyes and let the music play, keep our love alive, I'll never fade away. If you close your eyes and let the music play, keep our love alive, I'll never fade away. If you close your eyes and let the music play, keep our love alive, will never fade away. will soon be gone. Remember me and let the love we have live on.